Good afternoon. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. As you just heard from Dr. Birx today, we have held a roundtable discussion with Dr. Birx, the cabinet members, and some of the community stakeholders to discuss the COVID-19. It's an honor and a privilege for Dr. Birx to be here today to give us some information on the national level, to show where Missouri's trending on that stage. But I want to thank her personally for her, the administration, the president, the vice president, for what they've done for this country and what they continue to do for this country dealing with the coronavirus across the country, and also to take the time to be here in Missouri to help us with guidelines, to give us that we're all working together. And I think one of the things that you realize from you don't have to spend very much time with Dr. Birx and realize her agenda is about taking care of the American people and taking care of Missourians, which I'm proud of. And I appreciate the president and the vice president for everything they're doing. So with that, again, it's an honor for Dr. Birx to be here today, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Birx for a little bit. Dr. Birx?
Great. Thank you, Governor. What a privilege to be here in Missouri. Spent the last 2 days driving around the highways and byways of Missouri. We find that that is really critical to really experience how Missourians are living with COVID and really understand that. We've been to Branson. We went to the Lake of the Ozarks on the way up here at 5:30 this morning. And we really had great conversations with the governors, his cabinet staff, and with community experts, and it's been a privilege to be here. I think many of you know that post-Memorial Day, there was a significant outbreak across the South, and different from the outbreak in March and April, and that's why it's really important that Missourians understand that. The outbreak in March and April was very large metros in the United States, from Detroit to Chicago to Boston to New York to Philadelphia to Baltimore to Washington, D.C. This particular outbreak that began after Memorial Day was really a reflection of Americans moving into summer and traveling around the country. And so across the South and up the West Coast, from Washington down to California, from Arizona, across to Florida, up to Georgia and South Carolina, we saw a diffuse spread of the virus. First among asymptomatic young people primarily, and that's why it was only visible by increasing what we call test positivity. The ability to really see that the number of people in that particular state or county had an increased test positivity. We've been working across the South. This was my 20th state to be in. 8 weeks ago, we began publishing what we call the governor's report. These are reports directly to the governors every week for the last 8 weeks, and obviously we still continue to have the vice president or the president's led calls with each of the governors every single week. But the president and vice president wanted me to go out state by state and really meet with communities and leading officials, mayors, and governors to really understand what was happening in their state and understand how to improve mitigation against this virus. The work that the governors have done across the South has changed the test positivity in the cases across the South. But we noticed starting the end of June into July, the virus began to creep up into the next set of states and a creep across into Ohio and Indiana and now Chicago and Illinois and across many of the Kentucky and Tennessee. And so this particular trip was very much focused on going from Iowa to Nebraska, to Kansas, to Oklahoma, to Arkansas, and now up to Missouri. We've seen increasing test positivity and cases in Oklahoma and Arizona, and we met with those governors and understood in deep detail what they were doing to mitigate this virus. And we see in the states right above that, of which Missouri is one, some increasing in cases and increased test positivity that is now starting to stabilize. We wanted to really understand what each of the governors and mayors were doing, what the plans were, if additional mitigation was needed, and to really understand the precautions taken in schools and nursing homes and colleges and universities. In each of these states, we come back with amazing ideas that the governors have instituted. And what I have learned from talking to governors across this great United States is when they come up with a fantastic idea, they believe that every other governor is doing it. And so they don't think it's a big deal. This box-in strategy that has been being used here in Missouri I think really is an important example of how to really protect a vulnerable individuals. And when you see how Missouri has done with their long-term care facilities, when you see what they've done with the VA care facilities, it's really an important, critical message. In Arkansas, we saw a really incredible practice on a COVID booklet for parents and children going back to school, to really inform the children and families about what COVID is, COVID-19 is, and really bring that family up to a knowledge of how important masks are, how important social distancing is. And I think my fundamental message to everyone in Missouri is we have a habit of looking at an institution where there's a test positive case, and we don't look back and say that case came from the community. And so all of us across Missouri, whether you're in Kansas City or St. Louis, whether you're in Springfield, Joplin, or Jefferson City, whether you're in Branson or at the Lake of the Ozarks, our job in each and every community is to decrease viral spread and a clear pathway forward together to control this virus. What does that mean? We need every American and everybody in Missouri to be wearing a mask and socially distancing. What does social distancing mean? It means that we're asking every citizen to not have large gatherings in their backyards until we have an effective vaccine, to really curtail those gatherings when you bring people together, because we know there's amazing asymptomatic spread. And throughout the South, we have seen in rural areas and in urban areas, which are equally impacted by this virus. Remember, in Alabama and Mississippi and the parishes of Louisiana, over 95% of the counties are impacted. That is not the same in Missouri. You have some counties here with very low case numbers. You have counties with under 5% test positivity. Every person needs to really ensure that they're not infecting another, and that means we can't have these large parties because of the level of asymptomatic spread. I know we all want to believe our family members or our neighbors couldn't possibly have COVID. I can tell you across the United States that they do, and it doesn't matter if you're in a rural area or an urban area, they do, they don't know they're infected, and they're in spreading the virus to others. We've seen parties in Texas where 150 out of 150 people were infected, an outdoor party. So this is what we need to do together, because together, if we decrease community spread in this common sense pathway forward, we can have the schools open, we can have the universities and colleges open, we can have the sports teams. But we all have to do our part to get these cases down, no matter where you live in the United States. So I will stop there and take your questions, but I just want to conclude by, again, thanking the governors and the governor's staff for the really privilege to be here, to hear from them, to learn from them, and to take these ideas back onto our governor's call that is just a few hours from now. So thank you.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Birx. Thanks for coming today. I'm kind of hiding back here behind these cameras.
Hi. I see you.
Hello. Missouri was one of the last states to shut down and one of the first to open back up again, and there is no statewide mask mandate. The governor has said part of the reason is our population diversity, I guess, with ultra-urban and very rural areas, and so one size doesn't fit all. What is your message to the governor here and to all of us, I guess, as far as how we've been doing?
Well, what I have learned across this country is every governor and every mayor is fiercely protective of their citizens. And what I've learned from this governor is that the fact that Missouri has different, we drove through towns across the mountains that had 157 people who lived there. And so getting a message to them to really understand how to protect one another is very key, but also understanding the unique situation of these isolated mountain communities and these isolated rural communities. What I discussed with the governor is what I think is an excellent example from Texas, who had similar, very rural areas that were not impacted as greatly as some of the more urban areas, and small metro areas, which I just described about Joplin, Jefferson City, and Springfield. And what the governor of Texas did is, in any county that has more than 20 cases, had a mask mandate to really make it clear that you're following the data. And I want to really reassure everyone from Missouri, the data that was presented today by the group led by the governor is identical to the data that we have. And I think that's really critically important, is they're on top of their data. They know where this virus is, they know where the virus isn't, and they know what they're doing to stop the virus. And I think that was very reassuring. So we discussed what some of the other governors and states are doing that are in similar situations. Now, in states like Mississippi or states like Alabama, where 95%+ of counties have active community spread, that's why they did a mask mandate. Missouri has less than half their counties in that situation. So again, every one of these messages have to be adjusted, but every community member in Missouri should know how to protect themselves from the virus.
Should Missouri have a mask mandate?
We discussed that specific issue related to Texas. You know, every public health official anywhere in the country will tell you it is easier to have a statewide mask mandate. But in this case, they think there was a specific, if you can get 100% of the retailers to require masks, as we saw in Branson, and as we saw in some of the other smaller communities, it sends the message to the community that masks are important. And so we discussed that option about what Texas had done.
Good morning. Two questions. The CDC staff that is here in Missouri, Vice President Pence said they'd be coming here. Where are they at and what are they doing? And do you have any information on the vaccine trials going on at Washington University and St. Louis University Medicine Schools? Thanks.
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And so we have been sending out what we call these craft teams that work on COVID directly city by city. I believe they may be going to St. Louis, but I will look that up, or Kansas City, to really go to cities before they get into serious situation. We saw St. Louis's numbers go significantly up. We see Kansas City's numbers quite up. We talked at Kansas City about, and the mayors from both sides, to really understand what is going to be happening in Kansas City. We're starting to see improvement in St. Louis. We see Kansas City at a bit of a high plateau. We look, and I want to be clear, we look at those areas as contiguous. So when we look at New York City, we look at the whole metro area, whether it be in New Jersey or whether it be in Connecticut. And so we look at these cities that cross borders as a whole, then look at the counties on both sides where people may be sleeping and working, and understanding what that means for intermingling and exposure to the virus. And so those are the kinds of discussions we are having with mayors and governors to really work together across these borders. Because if you look at along the Missouri border and you look at along the Arkansas border, you can see spread of virus in those communities that join with other states that have higher viral spread. And what we're trying to do is having a statewide but a U.S.-wide mitigation approach in many of these areas that have cross-border activities. Vaccines. Great question. We really want to appreciate the work that's being done across universities in this great land that are opened up to vaccine trials. And we want to thank every American who signed up for these vaccine trials and have enrolled in these vaccine trials. It's very important that we have people from all different walks of life participate in those trials, because when we complete those trials, we want to know that it's going to work in a 70-year-old. We want to know it works in a farmer. We want to know it works in someone who lives in an inner city. We want to know it works in black, brown, and white. We want to make sure it works for every American. And we are a diverse community joined together as one America. And so it's really important that when these trials open, that everybody takes the opportunity to contribute to the American experience to prevent COVID by contributing to these vaccines. If you've had COVID, if you become infected, and if you have recovered, please donate plasma. We've been working on increasing plasma donations. We think it's an important therapeutic. We are working on the data to really prove that it's a critical therapeutic. We're collecting that data from around the United States. But I really want to thank people from Missouri that are participating in vaccine trials. You are helping all of America. And for those of you donating plasma, thank you. Thank you. You are saving lives of others.
Hi, Doctor. Thank you for the time. The health department tells me that the median age of those that die from COVID-19 in this state is 80 years, 8 months. In this city that we're in right now, there's a nursing home that's dealing with a pretty serious outbreak of COVID-19. 3 residents have already died. What ongoing federal help is there for congregate living facilities like long-term care facilities? I heard you praise the plan that's going on in the state right now. What ongoing federal help is there for facilities that are still dealing with this virus and still ravaging it in some cases?
Yeah, thank you. That's really a critical question. From March, and I just want to really thank my international colleagues, because many of them from around the world, particularly Europe, shared with us about the viral dynamics early on and what they were seeing in their countries. And so very early on, we were able to alert Americans to the unique risk of this virus to individuals with significant comorbidities and of a significant age. That was really critically important so that the federal government, as early as March, could be talking about how to protect the vulnerable. We asked them very early on to shelter in place. And throughout the criteria of opening up, we asked vulnerable Americans to continue to shelter in place because of that unique risk. At the same time, CMS, under Administrator Verma, has been writing guidelines and helping support strike teams into nursing homes across this great land. And in addition, over the last 2 months, we've been really surging PPE to nursing homes across the United States. And critically, we've been adding the ability to test. And so testing has gone out to almost 12 to 15% of nursing homes over the last 2 weeks. We'll continue to surge the ability to test into every single nursing home over the next 4 weeks until every nursing home has the ability to test their staff weekly. We know, and this is another illustration, nursing homes do not spontaneously become COVID-19 infected. It comes in through staff or visitors, primarily staff. That is the true thing about every single time we see spread into any congregate living or other site. So it reflects the community. And that's why we're calling on all members of the community to do what it takes to decrease the spread of this virus. It is critically important. And I just want to conclude that there are vulnerable individuals in this community today that don't live in long-term care facilities. There are individuals with significant cardiovascular disease, renal disease. There are individuals with diabetes and hypertension in multi-generational households. Let's help protect them at the same time we protect those in the nursing homes by ensuring every day that we're decreasing the community spread of this virus to protect Missourians, whether they're living in a nursing home or living in a city or living in a rural area but have comorbidities.
Dr. Birx, welcome to Missouri. I was just liking to ask you, we have a capacity limit at rest. I'm over here, this side.
Is there a woman standing here? I can take this one as long as we take her, too. Okay.
You want me to go ahead? Or? Okay, real quickly. We have a capacity limit at restaurants and businesses. Parents are worried here in Missouri about sending their kids back to school. How can you send kids back to school when we still have capacity limits in restaurants and other businesses?
So it really depends on the county and the school district. And that's why we have been sending out these governor's reports, because it includes a county-by-county analysis. And every single county in every single school district should know precisely where they sit with test positivity. And so everyone should be taking precautions. And we would like to see test positivity and cases declining in the counties that have significant COVID spread that is greater than 10%, more than 15 per 100,000 cases, to really show that we're bringing those cases down. We know that restrictions on, let's be very clear where spread occurs. It is spreads indoors and outdoors when we're close to each other and we have our masks off. It is difficult to eat and drink close to one another with your mask on. And so we need to ask ourselves every single time, outdoors or indoors, although outdoors is safer, we see spread occurring in outdoor parties too, is we need to say to ourselves, am I 6 feet apart at all times, or is my mask on? And if you can't answer that, then you shouldn't be there. And I think that's why we're asking restaurants to continue to social distance to protect communities. We want to see every community in Missouri under 5% and under 5 per 100,000 cases. I think we all know that that is the goal, and we're going to make progress together by this clear pathway forward of these common sense interventions. So I think we have...
Thank you, Dr. Briggs. When it comes to the governors across the state that, or across the country, excuse me, that you have spoke with, do you believe that some governors put the business interest instead of in front of health interest because of how fast they opened and how fast they wanted to make sure that businesses were okay before there is a vaccine, before they didn't mandate masks?
I can tell you, and now remember, I work in public health and in medicine and science. So governors will talk to me as a public health person. I have not, in my travels, of all 20 governors, and frankly, the hundreds of mayors that I've talked to on the telephone or in person, heard any of them voice that type of approach. All of them have started their discussion with me of what things can I do to protect the citizens more from COVID-19. And some of those discussions are very difficult, and I want to be very clear. Many governors are doing things that they, you talk about the economic piece, many of them have done things that they were worried about politically, but they have always put their citizens first, and that has been what's been most reassuring in traveling around the country, is how dedicated governors and mayors are to the people that they serve. And I think they really take this as a public service, and when they talk to it with me, they always start with, what more can I do? What do you see that I should do differently? I have those calls daily. I've talked to several of them just over the last few days, including the mayor of Honolulu, which experienced a significant outbreak. These mayors and these governors, Democrat or Republican, have been very clear about how important the health of their community is. And I want to really end with that. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You need to wear a mask and socially distance. You need to not have parties in your backyard and in your living room. And we need to stop the spread of this virus because we can. And we will together while we work on developing a vaccine together. Thank you very much.